What's up, folks, and welcome to another episode of the NASCAR DFS podcast. Our buddy Dan Malin is on a business trip for his other job at the moment. So we are joined by Mr. Edward Rouse. What's up, Rouse? How are we doing this week?
What is going on, Sells? It's a crazy week, right? We're at the point of our sports lives where everything is going on all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I'm going everywhere all at the same time. I'm sure you are as well, but and I'm also a sad Blaney fan. He's really shifted down in the standings, huh?
Yeah, it's not been a good run for him of late. His dream of making the championship without getting a win is looking a little dicey right now. It's not looking.
Here, let me say my dad joke again. He's a little shifting down.
Yeah.
In the standings there.
Yes. Maybe you should try upshifting.
Yes. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But
yeah, not a lot of that at Martinsville, though. There's not a whole lot of shifting that happens here. That's the race we've got coming up this week is at Martinsville, the penultimate race of the NASCAR Cup season. Mm-hmm. So, one shot left for everybody to get into the championship race at Phoenix. So things are going to get a little testy at Martinsville. We've seen it before. Each of the last four years or so, things come down to bump and runs, moving people out of the way that others don't like. We've seen fights break out here, right? Who started fighting during Martin Truex's race-winning interview a couple years ago? Somebody was, I think it was Logano and somebody.
Doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Yeah. When in doubt, blame Logano. We've got a pretty interesting group of four drivers that might make it to the championship. Unfortunately, one that I didn't want to be locked in is the one that's locked in, Joey Logano. But
isn't it weird that nobody's winning in these playoffs? Like, I feel like every year, at least almost every race, one of the playoff drivers wins, but this year has been just insane. Like none of the playoff drivers that are left are winning. It's
yeah. Insane. Like Larson has the dominant car at Miami. It's like, dude, you showed up a little too late, man. Like
just a bit outside.
Yeah, exactly. Plus if you didn't have them for DFS, you were basically screwed.
Yeah.
So that was a little unfortunate there. There was a lot of drama in the Homestead race, though, with Truex missing his pit and then trying to blame it on another driver.
I like how he just said, screw it, I'm getting in there somehow. Just completely just spun his car.
Basically, it was like, oop, I missed the off-ramp. I got to make a move here.
Yep, I'm going to go right through the water barriers. I don't care.
Yeah, and then blamed everybody else for the problem. So that seems like a kind of a JGR thing to do at this point, right? Little sad for Tyler Reddick, who looked to be all set up for a very good Homestead race and then, mm-hmm. Got bit again at an intermediate. But we'll move on here to Martinsville. The paperclip, as it's called, because it is short. And it is kind of tight corners and relatively long straightaways for such a short track. So it kind of looks like a paperclip if you look at it from the top. It is the oldest track in NASCAR. It's the only one that's been on the schedule every single year of the NASCAR schedule since the sport started in like 1947. But I want to start it off with this. What are we looking for this week, given how the next-gen cars have been absolutely terrible at short tracks?
Ooh. I don't... What are we looking for? I really don't know. It's hard to pass, right? Once you get behind. Yes. I've noticed that on the short tracks, that once you get behind, you're not coming back. Any mistake at all, Ryan Blaney, you're not coming back. So that's the one thing I noticed, where it seems like the older cars, you're able to get back into a race a lot easier than you can with these. And that's one thing I've noticed. What else have you noticed with them on these short tracks?
Yeah, you're right. It has been relatively tough to pass at these short flat tracks this year, which kind of stinks, because short tracks used to be a whole lot of Like, you could pass. It was tougher. Obviously, a whole lot less room to do it, but you could pass. But this next-gen car seems to have taken that ability away from people, and I'm not sure exactly why that's the case. I don't know if it's an aero thing or the wider wheels just don't work as well on short tracks. I'm not sure.
Maybe it's evened out the playing field a little bit more. And that's why we've also seen more winners this year as well.
I mean, that's true. It has evened that out, but like, even the guys that are fast are the ones we kind of expect to be up there on short tracks. It's just
True.
like, if you're leading, you cannot, you're like, nobody's going to take it from you unless your pit crew screws up or you get beat on a restart. So keep that in mind. There are 500 laps in this race. So it's going to be a long, grinding race here at
Long
Martinsville.
Sunday.
Yeah, they're going to be clicking them off pretty quick, but I expect stage three to have a whole lot of cautions as guys try to make moves to make the playoffs, because every spot on that racetrack is going to matter. It's a pretty tight field in terms of points. So that's a little bit of what we're looking for, is a whole lot of laps led here, and I'm not looking to play a whole lot of people starting towards the back, because again, it's tough to pass. So if it's tough to pass and it's a short track, that means you're probably going to get lapped pretty quick. I don't want guys that are getting lapped, because that caps how far up in the field they can move. So
Yeah, this is a hard race to judge, to put any type of lineup together. I was trying last night without seeing the qualifying. It's just
yes.
because of that reason. It's just a really tough one.
Right, because if we go based off track history, that's great. But like, if you go based off of what happened here in the spring, it was a little counter to what track history said. Like, guys were not moving up. You could just hold the lead for a couple hundred laps at a time. And speaking of that, there are new tires this week for Goodyear at Martinsville. They changed the tires from the spring, so that's another little wrinkle tossed in here too. So with that, why don't we start breaking down some of the drivers here? Who are the top guys, the top price guys you're looking at? Obviously Blaney's on that list, but who else?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. Well, hey, let's just start with Blaney right now, obviously. The last two races, he's kind of done it to himself, right? He was dominating 2 weeks ago, and then last week he was up there again, and still he just makes mistakes. And every year in the playoffs, he finds a way to make some sort of mistake to take him out, or his team does. Like when he got docked 100 points or whatever 3 years ago, or last. I forgot what happened last year, but he made a mistake as well last. It's like just common with him. And if he's going to be racing hard, and the key of your lineups is to finish a race, I don't know if he's a must play as he's always been on my book this week.
So you bring up some good points. As he's been fading a little bit down the stretch here, this
Well,
playoff
just
run.
in the third stage, in the first two stages, he's fantastic.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's long been a
That doesn't
problem
win you races,
about the
though.
stage racing, is that we have the first two stages figured out, and then we all just got to hang on for the third stage. Now, I will say that in these six shorter, flatter tracks that they've run on this year, like Gateway and a couple of Richmond races, and obviously the first Martinsville race, Phoenix can be tossed in there, New Hampshire, places like that. Blaney has three top fives in those six races this year. He has the second best average finish of anybody in the field.
He does need to win, though, right? To have any type of chance. Not necessarily, but
Let's see. Let's double check the NASCAR standings here, because I don't remember them.
he's 18 below the cut. And William Byron Hamlin are minus five, plus five. Elliott's
But
plus 11.
he doesn't necessarily need a win. I would say that Briscoe and Bell definitely do. They're 33 and
Yeah, they're
44 below. Although technically
they're
Bell doesn't. It
No,
depends
yeah,
on
that's
stage
not.
points. But like, if Blaney wins the first two stages and then beats, but let's say Byron doesn't get any stage points. Blaney wins the first two stages And then he finishes two spots ahead of Byron. He's tied him.
And he has the advantage because he has the stage win.
And he would, if they have, I don't know where their average finishes or what their finishes have been so far this stage, but that would be the tiebreaker, would be the highest finish.
Okay, but he's going to be pushing for the win, so he'll be up there racing hard. And,
yes, so there's a shot. Obviously, the win solves all of his problems.
Yes.
But there's a shot for him to make it without getting the win. Now, the more interesting one to me is Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
Who is currently below the cutoff.
Yeah, minus five.
Minus five. So, again, doesn't need a win, just needs a solid day and somebody else to screw up.
Byron, most likely.
Yes. However, he hasn't paid Chastain back. Who is second in the standings right now.
Yeah, he hasn't... And he hasn't really gotten the opportunity because he's been in all these races to make the finals, right? And ultimately, a championship is more important to him than getting Watermelon out, you know?
Well,
so
okay, but let's say that Denny Hamlin has a bad day at Martinsville. Let's say
and he's like minus 40 at the time. And
let's say the car isn't great, because if we look back at the last six,
yeah, he hasn't been good at the short tracks, has he?
This year, Denny Hamlin has not been good.
Yeah, he has not been good at all.
And the average, I mean, he's been okay, but like 14.3 isn't great. He does have a win. But it's a little bit hit and miss for him, right? So he has a win, a fourth place finish, a sixth place finish. And then he's got like a 28th and a 34th. So.
Narrative. The narrative. I like it.
If it's a bad race for him. And he is complaining like he did the last time we were at a short flat track where he was wondering why the hell he was running 30th.
And technically, also every race he complains as well.
Yes, well, that's true. But Chastain does not need a win to seal his. He just needs to have a solid race. He's 19 points to the good.
Correct.
So if Hamlin's having a craptastic day, which is not like out of the realm of possibility, does he target Ross Chastain?
Knock him out, and then Blaney and Byron will get in.
Because at that point, Hamlin's like, I'm not making it, neither are you. And knocks out Chastain.
Well, I'll tell you what, we all need to watch on Sunday because that's going to be exciting if that happens. That ought to be fun. But I mean, I'll be watching anyways.
I mean, it's happened in Martinsville before, right? Hamlin has done it personally like three times in the last 4 years. He did it to Chase when he got on the restart and then he got booed by his own home.
Oh, yeah.
When he sent Chase Elliott, and he was like, well, I got tapped from behind, which was a load of crap.
There's no one behind
him. And then he also blocked Bowman from celebrating here because he's petty and obnoxious. Martinsville has a thing for getting under Denny Hamlin's skin, and I could totally see that happening again this week.
Well, I'm counting on it. Now that you said it, I'm counting on it. So let's go.
He's also, by the way, 11-4. So that's a little steep.
He is expensive. Yeah, he's the most expensive playoff driver. I don't know if I'm paying up 11-4 for Hamlin.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm. I find it so hard to pay up for like a lot of these guys.
I mean, Elliott can just kind of coast in the top 10 his way to the championship. He doesn't. Byron. Yeah. Needs to race. Blaney needs to race. Logano can just do nothing. He could just sit on the sidelines. Or he could help Blaney.
Exactly.
That would be nice if one of Blaney's teammates actually helped him for once. I heard that laugh, Sal. I heard that laugh. Chastain's going to be looking out for Hamlin. Maybe this is a week where you just kind of...
Mid-tier.
Go just mid-tier the whole lineup. Well, it depends on qualifying, like we said earlier, but you could. By the way, Bubba Wallace is back after his suspension, correct? Yeah, he's back.
Yes, he is back. The one race suspension is done. Speaking of that, Stewart Haas lost their appeal in the suspension for Cole Custer. Well, the penalties for Cole Custer with his crew chief and the $100,000 fine and the... You know what? They lost that appeal. So
Cole Custer's probably not coming back next year, no?
There is apparently a fight between Tony Stewart and Gene Haas as to what they're doing with Cole Custer.
He's been terrible. I mean, I said this
he
on the, on this
been.
Podcast before. He had yes. he lucked into one win, got Rookie of the Year. Other than that, he's been straight trash.
Yeah, he got Rookie of the Year because of a very good final two laps at Kentucky. That was
correct.
It.
That was it.
That track's not even on the schedule anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a debate going between do they want to stick with Custer or call somebody up from the yeah. lower levels.
I've seen enough of Custer in 2 years. Get him out of here. That's what I say.
I think most people agree with that, that it's a waste of a what we would call a big team
yeah.
seat. But I don't know. It's clearly not up to us to decide if Custer keeps the sponsorships and the money, then he'll keep the ride because that's what it comes down to.
And I'll continue to not play him in DFS.
That's true. That is true. I don't know what we're doing with Truex this week, to be perfectly honest.
Shoot, I don't know what I've been doing with Truex for a while now. He's
priced at 95. He's had nice speed recently on the mile and a half.
He has. Now, 95 is a pretty decent price for him for a GPP. You know, he's not in that 10 tier where he has been. He's pretty good short track driver.
He's won here a couple of times in the last few races.
It's named. He's named after the course.
Basically.
So there's that narrative. Basically, so 95, you could put him as your top price driver, and then do the mid tier for GPPs. This is by the way, I don't play double ups in NASCAR. I think everyone knows that by now. I like it.
Yeah, he's had four top seven finishes at short tracks this year.
Yep, I'm looking at that right now. Yeah.
That's kind of his bread and butter most years. He really wants to keep his win streak going, like the consecutive years with wins.
And who's his teammates? Hamlin
and Kyle Busch.
So Hamlin's the only playoff driver. Like, does the teammate thing
well,
matter?
Bell's still in the playoffs, but
Bell too. Yeah, well, yeah. Does the teammate thing matter this late? Like, will Truex try to like help out Hamlin or Bell if he can to help them win or something to get into the final, or is he just still kind of racing for himself? I've always like,
I mean, technically speaking, you're not allowed to give team orders in NASCAR without getting a penalty, right? Yeah. Like in F1, you could get a guy to back off and let the other driver go past because they have
okay. You know how many times I've seen
in NASCAR, you can't say it in so many words,
but right? Okay.
There are ways to. Kind of set it up that way. Would Truex do it?
Probably not. He doesn't seem like that type of guy that would.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. I mean, Hamlin did help him out at Daytona when he pulled out a line in the stage to help Truex get stage points to try to point his way into the playoffs. Which wound up not necessarily mattering by like a couple of points. So I don't know. That's a reasonable question, but it is an intriguing way to start a lineup at $9,500. If you're just saying, I don't really want to pay dudes that are $11,000 this week, because a lot.
Yeah,
of
your average remaining player just now is 81. Like, that's
right. If you went with Truex at 95, you could also take a shot on Kyle Busch in hopes that he finds speed,
or finds his head. He's just been.
Maybe, but he does have the best average finish in the field at short flat tracks this year. So,
yeah, but not in the last 2 months.
Yeah, not so much recently. But again, we're building for a GPP, so let's.
Actually, recently he has his last three races were top 10 finishes.
Okay.
So maybe you're onto something. Ninth, third, and third.
There you go. Third.
Yeah.
I gotta keep playing Allmendinger because I just think he's fast. The car is fast.
He's gonna be someone to watch next year if he gets full time.
He nailed the top 10 at Gateway earlier this year on a short flat track. So while everybody says he's a road racer, that is true. He does actually have, okay stuff at short flat tracks. So he's a guy to watch.
Well, last week he. Started 10th, finished 3rd, right? 52 yes. points. The South Point 400. Started 21st, finished 9th, 48 points. Now, the Roval, obviously, that's a road course. So but still 60 points, duh. And then before, I mean, he 44 before that, 49, 50. He's been on a streak of over 44 is his lowest his last since July.
I like that.
I think you're onto something there. And I he's probably not going to be high on because most people, they say, oh, not a road course, not a dinger. So I like it.
Yeah. And so to finish this off here, I put in Eric Almirola because he's a short flat track racer. He's done very well.
He's been kind of those screwing with me all year type of guys, but
I mean, yeah, but this is right up his alley for the type of track it is. And in terms of average finish this year, he's got 3 top tens, including one here in the spring race. So I like him. Austin Dillon is going to be a guy who nobody
just going to say Austin
pays attention to this week, but he's been very good at this style of track.
Yeah,
this year.
And he's kind of on a roll too. So
yeah,
and also 3 top tens in his last 3.
Yeah, and then that gives us $9,300 to finish off this lineup, which gives us Seabell, Harvick, Reddick, Suarez, Briscoe, Bubba's back, Keselowski.
Keselowski's 7,500. Yeah.
Keselowski's 7,500. I'm not that intrigued by that price. I'd rather go with Buescher at 6,900 for the nice play of the week. But what about a guy like Eric Jones? He's kind of had an every other. He's had an every other race thing going.
He does,
and he's in an every other race.
Well, no, not. Oh, no, he's been actually. He went 66, 51, 50, 50, then 4 last week. So he's actually. But he's never done 2 terrible in a row.
Right.
Like never.
And if you add in the fact that in Martinsville, he's been pretty good. Now, he has had bad runs at short flat tracks this year. Okay, I'll grant you that. He's had 2 finishes inside the top 15 out of 6. Not great. However, at Martinsville, he's been a little better. He's finished 8th and 13th in the last 2 Martinsville races. So he's intriguing. I'm not saying I'm finishing my lineup with him. I'm saying he's intriguing. It's too bad. Like I could go with like Austin Cindric to put 4 dudes with A names in the lineup.
I'll give you an A name right now for that.
You got A name and then Eric Almirola and Austin Dillon all in the lineup. So we could go with Austin Cindric.
Yeah, Cindric's been too inconsistent, man, for me.
He had
his run in July where he was like, you had to play him. Ever since July ended, he's just been straight too inconsistent.
That being said, it's short flat tracks this year. Cindric, the first 2 were 24th and 20th. Not great, right?
No.
Since then, 11th, 11th, 13th, and 12th.
Okay.
So if he's starting...
Yeah, it depends on where. If he qualifies like in the top 10, you're not touching him.
He finished 13th and 12th, but he started 28th and 33rd. So that's way too good a PD not to go after.
Even though we talked about how hard it is to pass in the new car.
Yes. He still did it.
He can do it. Yeah, it depends where he qualifies strictly. If he's in a top 10 qualification, I'm not touching him with any type of pole. See where he's been in the top 10.
He started 13th and finished 11th with 7 fastest laps back here in April.
Yeah,
which was 37 points at $7,300. He's now 7,100. So it basically hits 5x. If he does that again, you basically hit 5x.
And the fact he's been so inconsistent means he's a great GPP play. With that too. Okay. Yeah. All right. You're selling me.
So I'm just saying, if we're building for a GPP, we could go 4 A names here. We could fit 4 A names and 2 JGR drivers.
Go in the full A name.
And still have 22. I just put Truex, Kyle Busch, Allmendinger, Almirola, Austin Dillon, and Cindric in a lineup.
You have about $2,000 left.
$100 left.
See, I got Truex, Allmendinger, Busch, Dillon, Cindric. I don't believe in Amendola too much, but then I'm looking at Tyler Reddick right here at 8,400 to finish this out. And wondering, what are your thoughts on Tyler Reddick this week?
He's very tempting considering he blew up last week, right? Like everybody was on
literally,
and then he didn't deliver.
Yeah.
But I will say that he's been trending in the wrong direction on short flat tracks this year. So his first finish was third, then 12th, then 18th, 16th, 21st, and 31st.
Okay, yeah, that's not the right way. Yeah,
that's not the way you want to see the red dog going, right? Like you want to see it going somewhere else. So I think he's intriguing, but
yeah, it's tough. That one, like this little
the trend is going the wrong. How about your boy Keselowski there?
I don't know what I have to say about boy Keselowski.
I mean, you've been the one that's been higher on him this year than I have to start.
Well, he's been on a roll lately, last three races, and even at a road course, too.
Last two short flat tracks, he's finished 7th and 15th.
Yeah, what's his salary here? 7,500. That leaves me...
Third in the last five Martinsville races, granted... All of these except for one were with Penske.
This is going to be one of those where I use the fantasy lineup generator and just say max salary 10,000 and lowest salary I'd go probably right at above Stenhouse at 6,000 and say use everyone 10% of the time in 50 lineups.
Yeah, I don't want any junk drivers this week.
Just use everyone 20% in 50 lineups of all who's left and just... You know, do like the $4 to what 20 max. That's what I'm feeling this week.
Yeah, heading into qualifying and the weekend practices and whatnot, I'm kind of living in the mid tier right now.
That's what I'm looking at too.
Obviously, that can change if you get a guy who's cheap who qualifies well. Like Harrison Burton has been known to qualify in the top 10 occasionally. Then I'll be looking at the cheap guy because if you're starting that high, the odds of you falling way back here is pretty slim. Still can happen. But I'm not banking on the guys that start 30th and then bank that they're going to move up.
Okay, what if this seems like it happens every freaking qualification. What if Kyle Busch has something happens and he starts 30th or below? Does it make him more valuable or less valuable in this race?
It's a very good question.
Because he has a tendency to start or have terrible, I mean, look at this. His qualifying has not been great this year at all.
No, I mean, so at Nashville, which was the Ally 400, he started 36th and moved up to, okay, so this is going to be a lot because he finished 21st, but that was the race where he should have won and then pitted with like four laps to go and then was stuck in the 20s.
Yeah, but he had like 40 fast laps and ended up with like 67 points in that race though, right?
Yeah, because he also had 54 laps led.
Yeah.
He should have won the race or finished. That was a race where he and Truex were leading and then restart happened with like four to go and he pitted because he thought tires were going to help him, but like nobody else pitted. So he started 20th on the restart. So that's a little bit, he drove up there, but it's also Nashville. You could pass there. Richmond, he started 29th and finished 9th.
Okay.
So maybe in that case, I'm going to play him in cash because he's going to be chalk.
I think you're right.
You play him in cash and you avoid him in GPPs because you avoid that chalk in GPPs to get leverage in case it doesn't work. But in
take cash, that out of my lineup.
In cash, he would be chalk. And so you play him because if he goes off, you need him to compete. And if he sucks, he's going to hurt everybody the same way. So that's what you do if Kyle Busch sucks at qualifying.
So I took him out of my lineup for my GPP, a similar to yours, and it gave me enough money for Blaney. It's a sign.
I mean, it is a sign. Like you were like, I'm shocked he wasn't in your lineup to begin with, man.
He is now. I have Truex, the dinger,
president of the Fresno Blaney Association.
I am the president, and my daughter's the vice president. I have Truex, the dinger, Blaney, Dylan, Cindric, Keselowski.
I don't know. I have a sneaking suspicion that Logano is going to weasel his way into one of my lineups at some point.
You're going to have to. Like,
the guy's been too consistent.
The Fords and the Penske's here. Have been fast at short tracks, too.
Yes.
So, I know.
I mean, I have enough to put him in there now because he's 10,000. So, yeah, if I have more faith, I could take out either Kyle Busch or Truex and put Logano in.
Do one lineup with one, just switch them, right?
Yeah, just put the rest of the core and then switch. Yeah,
if you're on like these one guys or whatever, and this is the week to just switch those guys, do one and don't worry about really salary too much, right? Because it's going to be interesting. This will all change once qualifying happens, so
for sure. So, with that note, pay attention to the content that's coming out this weekend. Once practice and qualifying is done, we'll have playbooks out, projections. Prize Picks video will be out probably Saturday, so check that out. Dan will be back in time to do his normal content load for the lower races. And so with that, we will say good luck, FA Nation, and enjoy the Xfinity 500 from Martinsville this weekend.
Woohoo!